A research team from Charles Darwin University has been exploring waste management options in remote Northern Territory to support participation in the circular economy. The study examined landfill sites for 5 communities in the West Arnhem region and also found out rubbish piles have been present at some waste sites for up to 100 years. The Wire's Vavine Jordan asked senior research fellow at Charles Darwin University's Northern Institute, Dr. Deepika Mathur, how waste disposal looks like in the Northern Territory.
In remote communities, there are landfills, and what the local councils do is they collect waste from households, commercial organizations come and deposit or they get collected, and then these are sorted and stockpiled on the landfill site. Some of the things, depending on how far of those they are to the housing, they get taken to recyclers.
So they do have recycling systems. They're just not necessarily to the same degree as if you were in like a non-remote region.
Yes, because they would have to be taken to Darwin. Now, if they're close to Darwin, let's say Jabiru, that's we are talking about the West Arnhem region, then that simpler transport mechanism. But if they were on the island, then that means that the waste that can be recycled is packaged, either put in a barge, and then transported to Darwin, where either it's recycled there or it's taken further from there to another city for further recycling or processing.
What are the main barriers to waste disposal in these remote regions?
In terms of disposal, would mean that they can just be put in, I mean, the simplest way is to put it in the landfill, but that doesn't take you anywhere because landfills get full. The trenches. The way to do it is to sort and to take them to recyclers. So barriers for recycling would be the distance and the cost that it involves. So if you're in a metropolitan city, you will get recyclers there. And, you know, it only means a bit of local transport. But for these remote communities, it can take many forms of transport, especially for the islands or the coastal communities, that they would have to either go through a barge. There would be packaged, taken on a barge, or it would be land transport, which means trucks and hours of that transport. So cost, who pays for that cost? Because we're talking about remote councils which don't have a rate base. While the recycling can be funded sometimes through product stewardship schemes, the transport isn't. So that cost burden of transport and knowing where to take various things is one of the big values.
In the CDU media release, you've called for the commitment of government departments, community organizations, and even logistic companies to help find a solution. What can be attributed to the lack of action up until this point?
I don't think it's a lack of action. I think it's just a lack of even understanding where people can help. One of the things that we were trying to do through this report is just get that whole systemic approach rather than it being a piecemeal. And just try to see who are the various stakeholders and where can they help. I think that's the biggest contribution in some ways, that this is the role that the logistics company can do in terms of backhauling. This is the role that we can put, let's say, in contracts, in how waste is managed in building projects, or this is what the councils can do. So it is, the load has to be distributed. It can't just be on one organization to complete, you know, if you're talking about circular economy, it's to close the loop. And that to do at the very end is a bit unfair, and it needs to start up more upstream and not just leave it to the people where actually the waste is visible, but look at the supply chain and other components of the system.
The research that you are doing informs Northern Territory regional councils as they navigate the best practice for waste management. Can you tell me about the waste management solutions that your team has been exploring?
This would vary from regional council to regional council, but some of the things that they do have to work towards is getting the data on waste. And this is not new. Everybody knows that it's just very hard to get data on waste, so how much waste is generated, to find ways of keeping, if there's a process set in place, because there's a high staff turnover, if somebody set process in place of managing waste, how can they be continued over time? What are the policies for that? Can we have one person in a council that's dedicated to looking at waste at all communities so that each community does not have to find its own solution for waste? And so these are just a few of the suggestions. So And cost for operations, that's another one. You know, we look at waste, but we do not see that there is very little funding for these councils. And where can they invest in their staff, the landfill staff? And for the landfill operations, they do need machinery, they do need staff, and how can they be funded appropriately?
Is it already an issue then in like regional areas having just lower populations, not having enough like employees who are able to take on the situation?
I think it's also that they don't have funds. So if you want to have a running landfill, you need funds for machinery, you need funds for staff, you need land. So all of those things are difficult for these councils who are not like Melbourne or city council, which just have roadway, you know, the couple of responsibilities. These councils actually run provide so many services to residents that they are really stretched. And I think so, how can they use their funds appropriately? How can they be funded so that they do their waste responsibility far more efficiently is where we are going with it. We have to address waste issue far more upstream that we are doing. And second is that waste management in remote and regional Australia is very different to what is done in metropolitan areas. So we should plan and take that into account when we are setting national waste guidelines or national product stewardship guidelines, setting out competitive grants. Again, they ask for matching funding, which is hard for these remote councils to participate in because of the matching funding. So when we set up these national programs, we do need to acknowledge that remote and regional Australia have certain, the barriers that they have to face and certain challenges, and make sure that we take them into account so that it's an equal ground for participation.
Senior Research Fellow at Charles Darwin University, Dr. Deepika Mathurde, ending the story by The Wire's Davina Jordan.